Governor Bob Ferguson last week gave a really good speech in front of the Downtown Seattle Association about the need to face fiscal reality in Olympia without thinking that you could just tax your way out of it. He said, in Olympia, they deliberately set up a budget that spends more money than they knew they were going to be expecting to receive, forecast to receive. And then after that speech, the governor had a press conference a couple days later in Olympia and said this. This is Como's Chris Daniels.
It is the issue that has loomed over Olympia and new governor Bob Ferguson.
Look, we're not going to tax our way out of this thing. Not going to happen.
Ferguson says he's identified $4 billion in cuts that would eliminate 1,000 state jobs and force other state employees to take a furlough day each month for 2 years.
Okay. There's a lot more there as well. But I want to talk to Chris Gilding. Chris is a rising star in Washington state politics. We enjoy having Chris on the show from time to time. Republican state senator from Puyallup and South Hill in Pierce County. And again, a major player in all things that have to do with spending money. Chris Gilden, welcome to the John Carlson Show. How are you?
I am doing better than I deserve, John. It's a great morning down here in Olympia. This is about the only time of day where Republicans are the majority because the Democrats haven't shown up yet. So it's a great time in Olympia right now.
Yeah. Okay. So just tell me, what did you think of the governor's speech? What did you think of the governor's press conference?
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate what the governor is doing, actually, with his focus on savings. And, you know, he hasn't embraced any new taxes yet. I think he's headed in the right direction. And I would say if Republicans were doing their own budget, we would probably realize a lot of the similar savings as what he's done. And so I do appreciate the effort. I think we differ a little bit on the starting point of this budget shortfall. And if you remember going back to November, just after the election, we started hearing about a $4 billion deficit shortfall. And then it jumped up to 8, 10, 12. Now we're at 15. So, you know, I reached out to the nonpartisan budget staff, the people with the political blinders on, and I asked them, you know, what is the real deal? What is it going to take to operate government next year in the same way that we're operating it right now? And they did their work, and they came back, and they said it's a $6.7 billion shortfall. That's what we're facing. So whereas Governor Ferguson is starting with a $15 billion shortfall, I'm starting with 6.7. And I understand how he gets to $15 billion, but we just have a different starting point there.
Well, go ahead and tell our listeners where the gap is and why. Because, for instance, Jay Inslee, on his way out the door, negotiates the sweetheart pay raise for state employees. So that spiked the shortfall.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. So if you start at 6.7, which is the maintenance level shortfall, you add in $4 billion worth of pay raises to state employees, and then you add on some additional policy. I've added up about $1.75 billion of bills that are set to take effect this year. So these are bills that the legislature voted in 2021, 2022, but they didn't want to pay the bill yet. They basically put bills on layaway, and the layaway term has expired, and the bill is coming due this year, and they don't have the money to pay for it. So that's about $1.75 billion right there. So
give us an example of one of those line items.
Well, and a lot of them have to do with things that we would like to fund. Enhanced rates for child care providers, stuff like that. That's a large majority of it. Early child education programs, rate increases for that. Certainly, you know, things that we would strive to do. But, you know, we were bound to them by previous legislatures, and now there's no money to pay for those things. And so a lot of people would say it's a cut, perhaps, but I would argue back that you really can't cut something that does not now exist, nor has it ever existed.
Okay. So Moving forward, then,
yeah.
What are the chances? You know, we don't have a Doge Washington, even though, frankly, it sounds like a good idea.
It does sound like a good idea.
For instance, on state employment, if the governor said we are going to trim the state workforce by 2%, and we're going to offer a buyout to state employees and not fill many of those positions, you would instantly start realizing hundreds of millions of dollars in savings.
Sure. Well, let's examine the raises for state employees, the collective bargaining agreements, in the amount of $4 billion. You know, and this is the big sticking point in their budget that's not letting them get to balance, right? This $4 billion raises that the Inslee administration negotiated, by the way. Just to put that in scale, I don't think this has to be all or nothing, right? I don't think that you have to fund $4 billion or $0 to our state employees. But just to put this into perspective, John, if we were to give every state employee a $5,000 bonus this year, that would cost us about $400 million. So, you know, potentially an option that the governor could pursue is some level of bonus for the state employees to honor the spirit of the collective bargaining agreements, but also acknowledge that we don't have the money to pay them $4 billion worth of raises. So let's give them a little bump, a little bonus to honor the bargaining agreement, and then have them go back and renegotiate over the next year and come back to the legislature.
So why is the pay raise that Jay Inslee negotiated, why is it almost nine times higher than giving every state employee $5,000?
Well, I think that's something. Well, no, I wouldn't say nine times. So that would be $400 million for this year. So if you multiplied that out over 4 years.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You would get to 1.6, okay, as opposed to 4.
So let's talk about a couple of other bills. First of all, the initiative killer was killed.
Initiative killer. It was scheduled to come up for a vote on Friday in Ways and Means, and it never came up for a vote. So it just died a bit of a quiet death.
So that I know that these things can be sprung back upon, you know, people at the 11th hour, an amendment on the floor, what have you, in the closing hours of a legislative session. But it looks like the attempt to gut the initiative system is dead.
It certainly does.
Okay.
It certainly does.
The attempt to push through free school breakfasts and lunches to all students, even if they're wealthy, currently, already, people are surprised when they hear this, about 70% of public school students have access to free meals. 70%, according to Seattle Times. They wanted to spend another $120 million per year, so that's $250 million, to buy breakfast and lunch for the other 30%. So basically, working class, poor and working class people would have had their taxes buying breakfast and lunch for the kids of millionaires and wealthy people. What was that about?
Well, you know, there is an argument that is being made by certain legislators that because of the cost incurred to administer the program and figure out who's eligible and who's not eligible, that it would actually be less expensive if we just paid for free lunches for everyone. I don't know that I'm particularly, I don't fully believe that particular claim right now, but that's one of the claims that's being made down here in Olympia.
Well,
it's just not doable this year.
Just radically streamline the process for the school lunch program.
And, I think so.
And, you know, that's where you save your money there. They had a bill to give unemployment benefits to illegal immigrants.
Oh, John, this was crazy. So we heard this in the Ways and Means Committee. And I had to ask staff for clarification. So the way this works is, number one, you're prohibited by federal law from providing those benefits to people who are not here legally. And so the way they set this up is the state gives the money to the Employment Security Department. They contract with a third-party non-governmental organization who then goes out and administers the program. People who apply for these benefits can do so by self-attestation. There's no verification. The department can't even contact their employer to verify that they're unemployed. And then once they're finished using the benefit, within 15 days of them finishing, the department has to destroy all of the records. And I asked nonpartisan staff that very question. And my question to them was, you know, well, number one, is there any mechanism in the bill to prevent fraud because of the self-attestation and not being able to verify employment? And two, how would you ever audit the program because the records are being destroyed? And the answer to both of those questions is there's really no way to prevent fraud and there's really no way to audit the program. Horrible, horrible bill.
Who are the main people behind this? I know Joe Fitzgibbon in the House was behind this.
I believe that was a Senator Saldana bill in the Senate.
Of course. Okay, there you go. One of the most radical members of the legislature. Again, that bill is dead. Actually, conservatives had a pretty good day on Friday in the legislature.
We had a pretty, given our numbers, we had a pretty good day. You're correct.
Several really bad bills did not make it through. Now, let me ask you about a couple more that are still out there. Rent control. What's the status?
Rent control is on the bubble. I'm not sure where we're going to land on this one. I know that there are a number of Democrats that are not completely pleased with rent control, maybe behind the scene. I think if they brought the bill to the floor for a vote, it would probably pass. But inside of their caucus, they have to take a vote on which bills they're going to bring to the floor. And I think that's probably our best chance at killing rent control this year, is to just encourage them to not even bring it to the floor for a vote.
Well, here's something that people should be mindful of. In Washington state, the average landlord has a profit margin of about 3.6%.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3.6%. There are a bevy of states where it's 6%, 6.4%, 5.8%, Detroit is 20%. My point here is that if we want more affordable housing, we have to entice more business people to go into the affordable housing and apartment rental business. And
you're absolutely right.
With a 3.6 profit margin, you're not going to get that many people to jump in.
And the rent control bill that we're considering in Washington state is actually the worst on the West Coast. It's a flat 7% increase. If you look at other states like California, for example, they have 7% plus a margin for CPI increases. So they could go all the way up to 10%, I believe. So we would have the most restrictive, least attractive atmosphere in Washington state of any state on the West Coast should this bill pass.
So let's keep our eye on that. Is there another priority or two that you're looking at? We've got about 45 seconds.
Well, I'll tell you, John, I have been working on a project pretty furiously over the last number of weeks. Not quite ready to release it out, but next week, let's check back in.
All right.
And I do hope to have something to share with you by probably next Tuesday if I'm on my timeline. And I think that it'll be something that'll send shockwaves all across the political spectrum of Washington State.
You like teasing the listeners, don't you? Well, as long as we get the exclusive, then I think we can arrange to get Chris Geldin back on next week, Philip J. All right? This sounds good. Do you want to come back Monday or Tuesday?
Let's shoot for Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, Chris Gelden, major announcement. Okay, that'll be worthwhile. Looking forward to it. Great work you're doing. Thanks for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it, Chris.
All right. Thanks, John. Have a good day.
That is State Senator Chris Gelden from the Puyallup and South Hill area of Pierce County, a rising star in Washington state politics. Great having him with us.